Okay, Rabbi, so let's get up to speed. We have a little bit of a complexity over here. We're holding enough Ayin Daled. We're still in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. And here's to remind you of what has happened. We had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about what the din is if someone was Mekadesh, a woman with a condition, Mekadesh Atzanai, and he went ahead and he married her not with a condition. And he took her to the chuppah and consummates his marriage and everything's fine. So according to Shmuel, if it found out in the end that the Tanai was not Mekuyam, you don't even need a get. According to Rav, you do need a get. And that had to do with how we were going to learn our Mishnah. And when the Mishnah was talking about over here, Kontsa, the question was whether it was one case, the same woman that he was Mekadesh al Tanai, and then was Kontsa? Apparently not, if you would hold that Eina Tzricha Imena Get, because in our Mishnah it says you do need Imena Get. Therefore, according to Shmuel, it says Eina Tzricha Imena Get. We would have to be talking about two separate cases. One case was with Kitsha, and also even Kontsa. And the other case was that I took another woman without mentioning any kind of conditions and took her. And the question is whether we could assume that a person doesn't want a woman with Nadar. Now, in the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel themselves, we had a further machlokas of how exactly to understand where their machlokas was going on. So according to Abaye, the machlokas Rav and Shmuel is mitfaresh exactly as I said it. Straightforward question about whether someone who, having once made a condition in a kiddushin, is ready now to forget about his condition because of the fact that he took it to the chuppah, either because ein adam oseh bi'ilato bi'ilatznut, and that would be the way that we understood the Gemara yesterday, according to Abaye, that he meant not to be re-mekadesher, but that was only in terms of the requirement for a get, according to Rav, or because he was meichel the tanai, in which in that case he would have needed to give her a ksuva. Also, doesn't seem to be the case here. Or the other way of learning it again was that there were two separate cases. That's how Abaye went. However, Rabbi yesterday said something rather dramatic. He said, no one in his right mind would think for a moment that in a case where somebody went ahead and made a tanai, that he intends to go now and to be re-mekadesh, a woman, or to be meichel as tanai because of ein adam oseh bi'ilatznut. There's no such thing. And therefore, the only way to understand the case is, believe it or not, that we're talking about where he had been megarish, this woman, so it was a get, and now he retook her, not because of the tzinai, it's megarish because he decides he doesn't like her, she's too loud for him, whatever. Then he changes his mind and comes back and takes her again, but this time without saying anything about the tzinai. So only in that case, as Rabbah, would there be a question of whether, since he didn't mention it the second time around, maybe this time he wasn't marked, but he took it without his name. Then that's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds that in that case, etzricha imen aget, and according to Shmuel, ein etzricha imen aget. But in a case where straight out it's the same woman, and he takes her to the chuppah, not Rav, not Shmuel holds that you made a new kiddushin now. No such case. Yesterday we had a number of questions that Abaye asked on Rabbah from what appeared to be assumptions other than that, and Rabbah got out of all of the questions. We were left up yesterday at the last question on that daf, which was Eitvei, and this was now six lines up. Eitvei. Now the next kasha that Abaye asks on Rabbi is as follows. Modim chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, chomer armeida, to Rabbi Eliezer, in a case where, now here's the problem, a man is married to a woman, gives her a get, takes her back again, and then he dies. So the question over there is, he dies, and she's chayav in yibum, chayavet in yibum. The shaila is whether in a case where he had once been married to a megarish, she hadn't fallen to yibum as a result of the first marriage ended in divorce. She was falling to yibum only from the second marriage. Machlokis over there, whether she is supposed to fall to yibum or not. One approach in that sugya was whether it's the Nisuyim HaRishonim that are mapio for Yibum or not. The simplest way of understanding this sugya over there, which the Gemara comes out, is that there is a reason to be gezer that she shouldn't fall to Yibum. What is that? Imagine the following case. A man has a daughter who's a ketana. He goes ahead and he's mekadesh the ketana, and now he accepts her divorce while she's still a ketana. So she's now megureshet. The first marriage was a marriage d'oraita. Right? And because it was a marriage d'oraita, the brother of the husband is usher on her forever as an eshet ach. D'oraita. Scenario. Is that clear so far? Suppose the man now would go ahead and again take her as a wife, the original husband, and she's still a ketana. And he dies while she's still a ketana. Now, in that case, it's evident to everybody, is it not, that there cannot be a yima. Because the second time around, there was no kedushin d'oraita, right? Because the father, having once married her off, can no longer accept kedushin for her, whether he's dead or alive. She's the equivalent of yatoma. It's called yatoma b'chayehav. Now, is it possible to confuse that case with other cases? Yes. In other words, if someone would think, well, it's okay, it's a second marriage, she falls to yibum, and let's go and be miyabim her. In that case, there would be a chi of course. So it could be that there is a gezerah, because of such a case, that we shouldn't allow any second marriage to fall to yibum after it first ended in divorce. Okay. That is how Rashi learns, and Rashi continues to learn that way in our sugya. Not everyone agrees with him, and because of that we have two gersos in our sugya, which is why I wanted to leave it a little bit, because it's a little bit complicated. Not that terrible. The other way of learning is like this. No one would ever confuse kedusha ketana that is coming not from a father to be a real kedusha, to fall to yibum. People are not that much of an amoritz. So we don't really have such a chashash. But where we might have a real problem is in a case where he remarries her as a ketana, and she now becomes a gedela while she's married. In that case, of course, if you hold that a person who remarries, who marries a ketana or remarries a ketana, and she grows up, has the intent now to be mekadesh as a gedela, so that as soon as she becomes a bat mitzvah, the next time he sleeps with her after that, he's so happy because now he has a full wife, and he has in mind that his bia should be l'shem kedushin. I wear the egin, maybe yichud, or any kedushin. People see them together, so that there's already a kedushin. Yep. So, fine, there'd be no problem if he would die, so she would fall to yibum for the second marriage. But suppose you hold that once you marry a ketana, you never think again about being re-mekadosh, and there is no subsequent kedushin. There you could have a very seriously confusing issue. Because imagine a case where a guy married a ketana. It is now 50 years later. Nobody remembers that he married a ketana. He dies. Does anybody think for a moment that they weren't really married in the Yoraisa? Nobody. And yet in this case, because he had once married her as a ketana when her father was alive and then it ended in divorce, the yibum would be an absolute disaster. Because the yibum is of an outright erva, where the second marriage was only drabana. He never had in mind to be Mekadosher again. God help us. So that's now a serious case, if you hold that, even when they were Godla together, that still he would never have been re-Mekadosher. Then obviously you have to make such a gezeira, because that can easily happen. Who keeps in mind such a thing? 50 years later, no, maybe nobody that even remembers that he had once been married to her while she was a ketana and got a divorce. People don't talk about such things. It's their second marriage. Who's going to mention it's a little girl at the time? So there you've got a serious problem. Okay, two ways of understanding. Now let's learn the Gemara here. First I'll leave it to Rashi, then we'll learn a little bit of the other approach, and see how it impacts our sugya. Yes,
I know Karl's a waiver that he would not be with a woman that he's not married to for 30 years. And not be.
No, because people's psychology is, once they've been with a woman for a long time legally, they don't differentiate that was only legally derabanan, but now I need to make it legal deraita. You know what I mean? They're married.
My intention would not be to continue to redact, which is not.
Yes, well, the rabbanan said I'm supposed to be sleeping with this girl all along, and it's perfectly kosher. So, I mean, like, what kind of person thinks, oh, I want it to be more kosher than the rabbis? But they said it was kosher. I mean, I had a rabbi officiating at the kedushin. What's the problem? Right? Many people would think like that. Okay. So it's a question of how aware people are of these kind of issues coming up. We'll see, that's a machlokas. So let us now learn, but with one, I must tell you, one very confusing issue that may well bother you right off the bat. Remember that Rav and Shmuel argued already about another case, which we spoke about yesterday, which on the surface appeared to be the same as this case. And that was the case where somebody had married, indeed, a ketana, and now, as a derabbanan, and now she was godla imam. So over there was exactly the same thing. Rav says, Well, afterwards, God lo yimor, if she went ahead and accepted a kedusha from somebody else, nothing. And she's already married because he slept with her already as a gedola. He must have had intent to marry her. Again, ein adam osev bila to bila tznut. Whereas Shmuel said, no, it's a problem because since she accepted the get, the kedusha, so, and they had never been married except in Rabbanan, and this is a kedusha d'oraita, she's in big trouble now. She's married to two people. She's going to require a get from the other guy. Now, that machlokas is precisely the issue that we're discussing here, isn't it? That's the question. What man who marries a ketana, does he intend to marry her again as a gedola? For some reason, the Gemara from this point on pretends that Rabbi Shmuel never argued about that. There's no way to almost no way to understand this again if we keep this in mind, keep that earlier machlokas in mind. But Tosis indeed is very bothered by this. And he says, look, maybe they didn't know about this machlokas at the time that this part of the Gemara was written. And only later on, they had heard the machlokas. But amazingly, the Gemara completely ignores that machlokas. Now, there are some Rishonim, including the Ravid, who attempt to give a distinction between the two cases, which is difficult. I mean, the distinction in terms of how much time had elapsed, that he hadn't slept with her, and that type of thing. Okay, but let's just assume, as Tosfos does, that we know nothing about that machlokas right now. And therefore, on the surface, the Gemara thinks, at this point, what we thought earlier, that the machlokas Rav and Shmuel in both of these cases is exactly the same machlokas. Whether you're talking about kedushei ta'ut with a t'nai, or whether you're talking about kedushin of a ketana that was godleimo, you're dealing with the same issue. Whatever Rav would have held by the ketana, namely, ein adam aseh bila to bila tznut, meila, but a be'ila which is only derabbanan, he would rather make it a complete kedushin. It's the same thing as if he had a t'nai. He doesn't want to keep his t'nai. He wants now, if he's already going to sleep with her, he wants it to be kosher v'yosh. And therefore he has a mind. Shmuel is not like that. So according to Shmuel, there was no new kedusha. Same thing that wouldn't be now with the case of the t'nai. Right? Okay. So now, making that assumption over here, I have a problem, says Abaye to Rava. You are claiming that nobody in his right mind, that's what you're telling me. I already showed you yesterday that people sure were in their right mind when they discussed our Mishnah, and nobody said, boy, you've got to be crazy to think that Rav and Shmuel are talking about a case where he had in mind now to be re-Makadosh, or why would he? Rav said we're all crazy. Nobody thought that they're all crazy. So Rav explained that away by saying, no, they were talking about a case over there where there had been first a divorce, and then a remarriage without its night. Okay. That you explained away, says Abaye to Rava. I dare you to explain away this case. Because assuming that a katana, shagod lo'imo, is exactly the same case as t'nai in a kedushin, where I go ahead now and unveil, you're going to have a big problem. Because it says over here, modim chachamim l'Rav Eliezer, miktanash hisiya avia v'nitgarsha, in a case where a father had already gone ahead. Remember, Rav Eliezer holds your osra on every second marriage to go to Yiva. The Chachamim were made on this kind of second marriage, where the first marriage was a marriage d'oraita. The father had accepted kedushin. Then the nitgarsha and the father accepted the get. At this point, there is no father, because even if there's physically a father, there's not legally a father. So at this moment, she becomes yitoma b'chayeyah. Now he goes ahead and he gives her kedushin again. So now it's only drabon. Virzira. And in that case, if he dies, of course, there we agree with you. There's no yibum there. Choletzet v'lomit yavemet, mipnesha gerashin, gerashah gerashin gemurim. The first marriage and the get was 100% marriage, and she became an eshet achiv, and that's a permanent iser. But the ein chazarata, the second marriage, was not a real second marriage. It was not chazara gemura. Now, b'med devorim amurim, where do we say we agree with you 100%? That's only if the second marriage was only a drabona. But suppose girshash kishiiktana virzira kishiigdola. How about in a case where he remarried her with a diraita marriage the second time around? Or, for that matter, even if he married her with a drabona marriage the second time around, and then she became a gedola, and then he died? In that case, we say, no, second marriage, 100% a kosher marriage, no problem. Now, at this point, it's absolutely clear. If the Rabbanan is saying that, then they're saying that a man who marries a ketana and she becomes a Gedolei Hatzlah, he fully intended to take her as a wife, it's a complete marriage, if he dies, she falls to Yibam, despite the fact that they had once been divorced, and so on and so forth, right? Excuse me, Rav, didn't you say no one in their right mind would ever say such a thing? How do you explain this? Okay, that's the kasha. Now, as far as the continuation, what does Rav Eliezer hold about this case? This depends on how I told you earlier, which you kind of missed the entire introduction, in order to make sure that he should be able to fall asleep. Chatasi, avisi, but bang, harder! Depending on how we learn, as I explained to you earlier, whether the svara of Rebbe Eliezer is that we make a gezera in all cases of a yitomah b'chayei ha'av, a second marriage can always be confused with a marriage that was a second marriage while she was married as a ketana. And in that kind of case, if the husband dies, having been once married to this woman, Midiraisa, becoming an Eshet Ach, the brother becomes now Usser on her forever. And now he gets remarried only Midrabana. If we would be Miyabin, that woman, after he dies, would be straight out Pogei of the Erev. Says Rebbe Eliezer, look, that kind of thing can come up, baby. People are going to get confused. If you tell them a second marriage leads to Yibam, they're going to think, remember, it's 50 years later now. They don't remember she was married as a ketana the second time. That's one way of understanding it. The other way of understanding it is, she's still a ketana. We're over there, everybody agrees that the second marriage is definitely, even there was no godly, well, the second marriage for sure is only to Rabban. Okay. So now let's take a look at what Rebbe Eliezer says. Mishum Rebbe Eliezer, Amru. Mishum Rebbe Eliezer says, no. In that case, choletzed velomit yabemet, even if she was a gedela, we have to make a gezera because of the case where she was yetomah b'chayei ha'av. So that if she got remarried as a ketana, and she's still a ketana, everybody agrees that 100% that it's ridiculous, and that she's not really married, and that if you be miyabim her, you would be doing an iser karet. Because of that case, we have to ask her. That's how Rashi learns it, which means that as far as the Iker issue is concerned, which is one of the things that the Rabbanit said right now, if she was a ketana, please, Barnea, if she was, it's difficult, but it's only 5 minutes worth of difficulty, and then the whole sugya will be clear. If she were a ketana at the time of marriage, and indeed she grew up with him, with that I made it to you, that's the same as a remarriage as a gedela, but who cares? I make the gzeira across the board. I don't care if she got married as a gedela, that's a real diraita. I don't care if she got married as a ketana, and then it became a diraita because it was a good laima. I make a gzeira in all cases because, look, we're all agreed, if the second marriage was as a ketana and he died while she was a ketana, then over there you got a real case of an erva without any kind of way out of it, right? That's how Rashi works. Okay, in which case, it's not that we're arguing about what the din is over here. If she was God, Lahima. Right? We're only arguing about whether we make the gezeira of Gedola, second marriage Gedola, or to a ketana that's Yetomah b'chayei. The other way of learning is like this. Nobody holds that we would get mixed up about a ketana who was a second marriage where there's no father, and he died while she's still a ketana. That's crazy. Who's going to get confused about such a thing? The only thing we would get confused about is if she got married as a ketana and then became a gedela and continued to live with him as a gedela. You see, over there, if the din is that he does not intend to retake her, now that is easy to get confused because now it's 50 years later. Now nobody even remembers. Nobody thinks that a guy who's been living with his wife for 50 years is not married, Midiraita. But in this case, they're not married Midiraita. Because when she grew up with him, there was no intent to be re-mekamish. Okay? That's the other way of learning. That Be'etzem Rebbe Eliezer, no, Rebbe Eliezer either is arguing about the issue of God Leimo, or he's agreeing about the issue of God Leimo, but in either event he's making a gezeira. The difference between the two cases is he arguing about God Law? And therefore the gezeira is even because of the God Law, which that makes a lot of sense. Or is he arguing, actually he's agreeing, but he's arguing only about whether we make the gezeira of a yetomah b'chayav where the husband died as when she was still a ketana. But this is all a minor side issue. The main point over here is that it's absolutely clear that perhaps everybody, in other words, maybe Rebbe Eliezer even agrees with the assumption that if she was Godla, that in that case, of course he meant to make her his wife 100%, And the gezeira is because of the ketana where the husband died while she was a ketana, the second marriage? Or there's a machlokas to Chachomim and Rebbe Eliezer about whether the guy intends to take her now as when she becomes a gedola. But in any event, certainly, the Chachomim are saying that there is a obvious intent to take her again as a gedola. So that's the only question, whether it's across the board or it's only the Chachomim. But one thing is for sure, it says Abaye Terabba. If I am correct in saying that Kiddushei Ketana, who grows up, is the full equivalent of a Kiddushin Altsnai, where she grew up, so to speak. In other words, he went ahead and married her in the end, takes her to the chuppah, consummates the marriage. If I'm right, then you who claim that you've got to be off your rocker to think that somebody would be re-Makadish are completely wrong, because it says over here, the Chachomim, and maybe even Rebbe Eliezer too, depending on how we learn, agree that for sure he intended to make her his wife. The only machlokas here is whether we make a gezeirah. Right? I don't understand it. Now, again, it's obvious to us that this is a ridiculous question. Why is it obvious to us? Because we already know the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel yesterday about the case of the ketana who grew up with the guy. And we understand that there might be a major difference between a ketana who grows up with a guy where there was no t'nai and a case where a guy made a t'nai. And that's the first thing that Rava would say, which was the tzricha said that we made originally in the sukkah. We said, why do we need two machlokas? Because a t'nai is different than just growing up. So to ask this question is to completely ignore the whole sukkah. Therefore, it says Taisus, we must have not known the sukkah at this point. We did not hear that other machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. And therefore we have this discussion. Obviously the way out of this discussion is exactly the way out that we know already, which we said yesterday. Why are we comparing a case where a guy makes a t'nai in a kedushin and goes out and takes her to a case where every idiot knows that she was a ketana? There was nothing wrong. I never intended not to take her. I just couldn't. But I've been waiting for her bat mitzvah. Now comes her bat mitzvah. Why would we think that he wouldn't want to take her? Therefore, so let's just see the question inside. Okay, so the question inside now, ignoring the earlier sugya, the achas is a baya, that it's the full equivalent of a ta'ut. Kitaut, you should hear, it's not so bad to have the gears of kitaut, because it isn't really a ta'ut. Not the difference between isha, kat, or shnei nashim, but the difference between a ta'ut and a non-ta'ut. So kitaut, all the other cases, kitaut didn't make much sense. But over here, you, Rava, who claimed that the only time that we have such a problem was where there was first a divorce. And in this case, we're not talking about a case where there's first a divorce, in any meaningful sense, the sugya that you had. I mean, she was still a ketana the second time around. And the halacha is, pleading. We nonetheless find that there's a machlokas. So that the rabbanan say over here, you could be mityabemet. So you see over here that if she grows up with him, definitely there was a kedushin again, even though he had been married to her before. So I assume that would be the same thing for nedarim. Says the Gemara, no. Hosam nami ba kamifli. Mar savar adam yodeya shein kedushin ketana klum v'gomar v'bala shein kedushin. Umar sovar in adam yodeya shein kedushin ketana klum v'chi kabala daite de kedushin arishanim kabua. Okay, so now, again, this girsa is not like Rashi. This girsa is saying there really is a machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rebbe Eliezer here. Gentlemen, all of this is not really germane to our sugya. I'm just explaining it to you so that you can understand the words in the Gemara and see why Rashi has to take it out. In a sense, it's chaval. If it were up to me, I would say let's just skip it and so on. But Rashi has to explain the Gemara. So therefore, we have to suffer through these two possibilities. For all intents and purposes, to us, this is completely irrelevant. No matter what we see, even if we would have stopped before we heard what Rebbe Eliezer said, we would have had a disastrous question on Rav. Because the Rabbanan is saying if she's Godela Dimo, that he intends to go ahead and remarry her. And all we needed to say as an answer was, says Rava, what are you talking about? Everybody knows that a Kedusha Ketana is not a Kedusha. He's waiting to be re-Mekadisher. What does that have to do with the Machlokas that I'm telling you about a case where there was a T'nai, where I'm claiming nobody would say, if it was one marriage, nobody would say he intended to retake her without the T'nai. Yeah? But since the Gemara doesn't stop there, we are forced to understand the Gemara. So therefore, I'm asking for your patience to get this very clear. Okay, if when you chazer it, you wanted to skip it over, you'll still know the sugya well without even understanding these words. Again, so there may be a machlokas here between Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan about whether the guy was Mekadesh again. Or there may not be. If you're learning like Rashi, there's no such machlokas. Because Rebbe Eliezer, all Rebbe Eliezer was saying is, choletzek v'lo mityabemet, because of the fact that there's a gzera, because of a ketana whose husband died while she was still a ketana on the second marriage. But I agree with you that as far as the halacha is concerned about godelat limo, That's how Rashi learns. Therefore, Rashi has to take out the words b'halka miflege, because it's not true. They're not arguing about whether he intends to retake her or not. They're only arguing about whether we need to make a gezeira that people might get confused about a second marriage of a gedela because of a case of a katana. That's all. So therefore, Rashi has a terrible time with this gears. He has to take it out. But he's telling me b'halka miflege. There is no such thing b'halka miflege. Therefore, Rashi changes the gears to read as follows. Hatam hainu taima. What is the reason that over there we say that for sure, according to everybody, the man would have intention to take her again now when she becomes a gedela? That's because Adam Yodea she'ein kidushe ketana klum. And therefore he wants to take her. Ava kicha al tnayu. Well, daite al tnayu. If you have our girsa, then you can't learn like Rashi. If you have our girsa, this is what you say. You say to yourself, Reb Eliezer never would have thought that people are going to get confused about a husband who dies as a, where she's still a ketana. Everybody knows that wasn't a real marriage. They'll never come to be miyabim a ketana in that case. You got to stop this. It's really not real. So everybody knows that. The only case that we're arguing, I am arguing about, is where she was gadla imo. Because I say there was no intent to retake her, and therefore 50 years later she's still not married. Now that people can get confused about. Oh, so why am I saying that he didn't intend to retake her? But how come it's okay? People don't realize that enkidushe ketana klum, and therefore they don't think about taking her. That's all. Okay, simple two issues over here. Now let's get back, going back through our sefer. Itmar Nami, as far as Rabba is concerned, Rabba is not the only one who claims that if it's all one marriage and there's not the second marriage, that there's no way that a person was Michaelis tonight or intends to take her again, l'shem kedusha, because ein adam oseh bila tovilat znut, says Rav Achra bar Yaakov. Rabbi Yochanan also said, ha'mekadosh ha'tznai u'ba'al, dibri ha'kol ein atzricha men aget. It's a complete misunderstanding to think that Rav and Shmuel would be arguing about whether a guy takes the same woman with the same kedushin, and he's going ahead now and he's staying at the chuppah. You got to be crazy to think that all of a sudden he's decided, what the heck. He did not decide, what the heck. He intends fully to get rid of her the moment he finds out that she had the dori. So now this is what Rav Achra bar Yaakov said. Now Rav Achra bar Yaakov had a nephew whose name was also Rav Achra. So obviously it was a lot younger than him. So Rav Achra, who was the son of Rav Ika, who was the son of Rav Achra bar Yaakov's sister, this is a great nephew, asks his uncle, I got a big problem with this. Listen to what it said we had earlier in Yevamos. Chalitza muta'at kshera. If somebody does a chalitza under false pretense, what's my name? Oh yeah, but it isn't his, that's the thing. Okay, if he's misled with false assumptions. So under that, they're not his though, somebody misleads him. So it's a chalitza that's mutate, it's kosher. What does that mean? What is a chalitza mutate? Omer Shlokish, it means that the Beis Din tells him, why don't you go ahead and do a chalitza? That's the only way that you'll be able to sleep with this Yavama. Obviously, that's the last. He'll never see her again. Okay, so they tell her, Chalotzo bekachata konsa. The way you want this girl, this is the only way to get her. She's got to spit at you and take off your shoe and the whole thing, and then she's yours. So that's chalitza mutet. Omer Reb Yochanan, what are you, crazy? I remember vaguely a Mishnah that was saying that if one of them didn't have proper kavana, chalitzata psula. They both have to have kavanah for chalitza. You're coming along and saying, no, it's okay. They can have kavanah to take her. The guy could think that this is the yibum. What are you talking about? I'm a chalitza takshira. I'll tell you what a chalitza psula is. What a chalitza kshira is where it was done with mutait. Kosh omer la chalotzla. You did a chalitza and she's going to pay you off. You let her just because she wants to be free. He says, no, I don't want her to go free. I want her to be my yavama. And she doesn't want this guy. So we say, look, she's willing to pay you off $200,000. You give her the chalitza, we'll get you the check. He goes ahead and gives her the chalitza, and they say, goodbye, no money. Yeah. That's called a chalitza mutet. So Alma, so how do you understand that? What kind of chalitza is that? If the guy did chalitza with a condition that he's going to get $200,000, what kind of chalitza is it? Therefore, says his nephew, Rav Acha, I got a big problem over here with your pshat, great uncle. Because over here, it must be because, since the guy goes ahead and does the chalitza, so when you do it, you're b'chol tznai. Now this, of course, has nothing to do with anything. You would say that, first of all, who's talking about Meichel tonight? We were talking about Ein Adam Aseh Bila Tobilat Zanus. We already proved that yesterday. What are you getting confused with Mechila tonight? Furthermore, we were talking about Be'ila, not Chalitza. What's next to my kin? Is what we would have said, right? When the grandnephew comes over and asks this kind of question. So great uncle wasn't too happy either with this question. So he says to him, Omar Leh, Barbe Rav, listen, little kindergarten boy. Shapir Garret, are you asking an intelligent question? What kind of question is this? There's something fundamentally wrong with your question. Besides everything else, this isn't even a valid condition. This was no condition. This condition wasn't binding anyway. And when a condition isn't binding, you're left with the Maisa the way that it's done. Okay, where do we learn our conditions from? Only from Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, correct? And you are asking from a Tanai that does not fit the rules of Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain. Why? Where do we know that a condition can limit an act? Only from B'nai God of B'nai Reuven, what we're talking about over there, giving them a chelek in Eivar Yarden on condition that ultimately they will provide the army power, the marine power, to go and to conquer Israel for the rest of the Shvatim in front of the army. So from over there, we learn that since Yoshua makes a condition, he says, look, okay, we're giving this land to you on condition that, but if you don't do that, then you're going to get a piece of the land together with everybody else. This is not going to be yours, and so on. Now, one very blatant thing about the condition, about the act of B'nai Gad of B'nai Reuven, is that the chalukah, giving over of Eretz Yisrael, which was being done by Yoshua, basically, this was Moshe Rabbeinu Shlichut, this thing can be done al yedei shliach. In other words, he was acting as a shliach of Moshe. Moshe was makabo from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the right to be manchil. He tells Yoshua, okay, you go ahead and be manchil, you be manchil with this understanding. And therefore, all the things that Yoshua does, the various tznoyim that he makes, we find many things throughout Shas. Yoshua was the one who was empowered to define the nachal of Eretz Yisrael and to give the conditions for that nachal. Right. But suppose you wouldn't have been able to do something with shlichut. Like chalitza, for instance. Can you appoint a guy in your place to do chalitza? You can't pay somebody to get spit at. Right? You can't pay somebody to have his shoe taken off. It's got to be you. So, okay, so if that's the case, it doesn't fit the rules of Tanai Gad B'nai Reuven. Because, I mean, if you consider the nature of shlichut, the idea over there is that we're talking about a legal concept of what it means for me to be doing something that I can't really do. Okay, so we have to create an instrument. There's a legal instrument that works with shlichut, and that instrument is given to conditions. But suppose you're dealing with something that's not a legal instrument. It's just the definition of an act. You do chalitza. That's an act. Where do we ever see that something that the act stands on its own is subject to conditions? So therefore, there's no conditions. It doesn't help. You're saying you made a condition. Where's my $200,000? Gee, really sorry. Well, then I cancel my chalitza. Really now? We're going to run time backwards? How are you going to cancel your chalitza? There's nothing you can do about it. So therefore, your kash is bechlal not a kash. You think that it's because the guy had in mind to be bevatel his condition? There was no binding condition. There was no meaningful condition.
I thought I was going to double tonight.
Over here, it's also the equivalent. When you say almanat, it's like a double tonight. That we'll see in the dinim of tonight. We're assuming that there was the equivalent of a double tonight. On condition that is similar to a double tonight, but that we'll see in the dinim of tonight. Says the Gemara, excuse me, marriage? I am now going to sleep with you on condition that daddy wants. Didn't we have that case yesterday? Last I heard, you can't appoint somebody to be Mekadosh a woman by sleeping with her for you. I mean, you can tell them to give her money, but it sure is not a very good idea to be Mekadosh Bibia with a shliach. Right? Richie's opening an agency for sure.
Richie, I don't need to work for you.
Forget about it. I don't need any of this.
Our capitan is doing well. A lot of exercise. Okay. So there we go. So, and nonetheless, I seem to recall just from yesterday that you said we could make a condition. Now, how the heck could we make a condition on something that you can't do through somebody's agency? There too, the act stands as an act, not because it's some type of legal instrument. That's different, says the Gemara. Hata mishum di itku shavayot lahadadi. Look, are there other ways of doing Kedushin? Yeah, you can give Kedushin with Kesef. You can make a shtar. Okay? The Torah compares all of the hayata, all of the nature of taking a woman to one another. So despite the fact that bia may not be normally construed as an instrument, which is possible to make a condition, since the Torah says, in essence, bia is a different form of Kesef Kedushin. And therefore, it's true it needs to be the bia of the Baal. That's true. But that doesn't mean that it goes outside of the normal constraints of the inyanim of Kedushin. If Kedushin in general works with a Tanai, so does bia work with a Tanai. Because the fact that it needs to be you is just the only way to do bia, but not because we don't see it as the equivalent of money or a contract. So this is a very special case. But normally, I mean, case of chalitza, which is clearly something that has to be done to you, where we don't see any evidence that it's anything but the act qua act, over there, it's not going to help to make a condition. So therefore, great nephew's question was no question. So we're left now with both Rabbah and Reb Yochanan saying that nobody holds that if you go ahead and arkenes a woman that you originally had made a tonight, there's nobody at all that would say that you, for some reason, now are re-makadisher and no longer care about your tonight. You do care about the tonight. Okay. Omer of Ula Baraba, Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Lazar, Amekadish B'milva. How about these cases? These are all mistaken cases. Somebody goes ahead and he is Makadesh with a loan. So let's say she was, Rashi says the case over here is, that she owed him money, and now he's going to be Meichel that loan. Okay? And therefore, it's not Kedushin because the money was had already been given to her, Lo Tza'ah. Tosis doesn't like the case too much to say that this is the case, because in such a case, there is a way to be Makadish by being Meichel. Right. Is it worth money to you that I should be Meichel the loan? I'm not talking about using the money of the loan. I'm talking about the gift that I'm giving you, which is certainly worth a Shavah Pruta, then I'm being Meichel you. That's, forget about the loan. That's $1,000. But my Mechil of $1,000 is worth money? You pay somebody to get me to be Meichel. I'm Meichel. With that Hana, you should be Mekadesh. That certainly is a perfectly good condition. Because I'm giving you actual value. So therefore, the Reis says it's difficult to believe that's the case over here. I mean, what Rashi would have to say is that he makes it very clear. I'm not talking about the pleasure of the... I'm talking about the original money I gave you. Okay, so the more likely chat over here is that he said, look, you owe me money. You know what? You keep that money as your Kesef Kedushin. Okay, so keeping money as a Kesef Kedushin. That money was already given to you. There was no act of Kedushin. That's a Mekadosh. But no, made a Mekadosh. Fine. So he made a mistake. He thought he could be Mekadosh that way. He says, $1,000 that I gave you is your money for Kedushin. Don't bother returning it. There's no Kedushin in such a case. And he goes ahead and he was Baal. Or he was Mekadosh Al Tanai. Let's say that she doesn't have the daughter. Goes ahead and he's Baal. He was Mekadosh with Pachas B'Shava Pruta. Goes ahead and he's Baal. Direi Hakol. Wow. So according to this, everybody holds you do need a get. Wow. Now this, even Abaya didn't hold. This is the opposite extreme. Because Abaya said at least there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And Rava said, no, everybody agrees that in this case your full intention is to go ahead and to be now Rima Kaddish. According to this, if everybody holds this, then we'd have to say that Rav and Shmuel are talking about only where he was Kansa Voloba. That's what we would have to say. So in other words, he's arguing on Abaya. There must be a difference between Kansa and Kansa Voloba. That's how Tosfos understands it. So in this case, Rabbi Elazar, on the contrary, everybody holds that he does intend to take her again. Even Shmuel. What? I thought Shmuel says it's all... What is that supposed to be? Okay, so there's an afkamina, obviously, between Baal or Lobla. Omer of Yosef Barab, Omer of Menachem, Omer of Ani, Hamekadesh, but Fachot Mishavel Pruta, who Baal Tzrichamena get. No. It's not like that. The first case that you mentioned, where it was Fachot Mishavel Pruta, there, everybody knows, obviously. Because people, when he realizes it wasn't worth the shavah pruta, he wants to be a mekadesher. That people don't make that kind of mistake. Al v'bahanach toy, But in these other cases, people do make a mistake. So therefore, if it was Bekadosh B'milvah, he might actually think that the first Kedushin was a good Kedushin, and it was nothing. And then when he went in and it was Baal, there's no Kedushin at all. So Mekadosh B'milvah is innately different, or in a case of Nedarim, if it was Kedushin Ta'ut, V'hanach Toi. So in these cases, what was the Ta'ut, according to this? That he must have thought that she, in going ahead with this marriage, is telling me there are no Nedarim. Otherwise, why would she have gone ahead with the marriage? But that he does not intend to remarry her. Okay. So now, there turns out, therefore, to be a machlokas about whether everybody would hold that in such a case we do need a get or not. Omrif ganimish me du'ula ha-makadish al-tnai u-ba'al tzricha emen a-get. Somebody who makes a kedushin t'nai, if he goes in and he's boil, the din is tzricha emen a-get, ze hoya ma'aseh, we had an actual event, and lo yakoch b'chachamim lo tziya b'lo get. B'chachamim were unable to say positively that he did not intend to take her again because ein adam osev bilato bilatzanut. Therefore, they were mechayev for a get, but they weren't sure. But to be mater neshetish, they didn't want to be mater neshetish. Lafuke mihaitana, which is not like the following on the Omar. The Omar of Yudam Hashmol Mishum Rabbi Yishmol Vehi lo nitfasa asura. Now note that according to this, Abaye's got a big problem over here. Because, I mean, it seems to be that nobody's willing to talk about a case to be motzia without a get. But now we have a Tana, and obviously, as Tosafot points out, Abaye was going, I'll leave the Rebbe Yishmol. Where it says, V'hilo nitfasa asura, ho nitfasa muteret. So in a case where a woman is raped, so then she's muteret. Where Medayek, he lo nitfasa, ho nitfasa muteret. But yesh lo acheret, there is a case of a woman where afa pisha lo nitfasa, even though she wasn't raped, she had an affair, knowing full well that what she was doing. She's nonetheless muteret to her husband. How could that be? Where there was a t'nai in the kedusha, let's say that he was mekadesh that she doesn't have nedarim, and now it's 10 years later, and she's got her kids on her side and her baby in her backpack. She turns to her husband and says, remember that stuff about the netter you didn't want? Well, I got news for you. I've had nedarim the whole time. So that's it. There never was any marriage and so on. And there was never an intent to be re-Makadesh. And it's this that Abaye obviously was relying on when he was saying that, no, that's what Shmuel basically holds. That we don't say in Adam Oseh Bilato Bilatzanot. He went ahead and took her. It was on Das, the original thing. And I don't care if they're already married. I don't care if they already have children. I don't care if it's 50 years later. She decides now she likes another guy. Bye-bye. She just tells him about the facts and walks away. So obviously she was never married to him. So how could she be asur on him? So when she goes ahead now and sleeps with another guy, it doesn't make any difference to him because they're not men and wife. Okay, so we see from here that indeed there is a shita among the Tanoim that holds that a person will absolutely maintain his commitment to the original tie in the Kedushin, come hell or high water. I don't care if he was boil, I don't care if he has children, I don't care how long he's been married.
So that would be absolutely,
which is what Shmuel understood, the original machlokas of Rav. I mean, Abaye understood the original machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. So don't yell at me. Everybody is saying, no, nobody would say such a thing. Here's the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel says clearly, even after Be'ila, Adam Oseh Bilato Bilatznu.
And the Baal has absolutely no word in it. I mean, if he
says... He's the one who said.
He can't be correct, he can't say...
How can he be correct? What do you mean? Dvarim Shebaleif. Did you tell me you're making a new Kedushin? You told me that we should now have a Kedushin after 30 years. You know what? Let's make a remarriage. You never said that. You told me, let's sleep together. I'm an asked there should be Kedushin. We'll have witnesses in the other room. When? Where? Who? Never heard of it.
It's very connected to the famous civil marriage, whether children would have, that's another issue, but in a case of civil marriage he
didn't make it tonight. That's a different thing. He intends to live with her as man and wife, but over here he said beferish, I don't want you as a wife.
Common law marriage, it's called, right?
Common law marriage, right? The validity of common law marriage.
She has a kid from this first meeting. He wouldn't be allowed to, she had a kid from
She wouldn't have a mamzer from either of them, her first husband she wasn't married to, and the second guy she also wasn't married to.
What about mamzer Bushato?
He never took her.
He never took her, so even if he married
the second guy. That's what I'm saying. She's muteret, she's never married to him.
Yeah,
That's not diyuk from the pasuk.
It's just called miyud.
No, it's not. It's a borrowed term. Mm-hmm. We've had this before, that we used the term where she means that, okay, now I'm ready to tell you the facts as they are. That's not believed. Obviously, she now lets us know about the Nadar. Yeah, otherwise, I mean, well, we're going to have every Nizana and say, I mean, if there was a Tanai, I mean, but that she could always say, well, that's a man had a kind in the Dorim, that was an Unda.
Yeah,
in this case, it's
not.
Sorry? In English?
Pasuk uses the word this means to refuse.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the point is, but that definitely does use
the word
borrow.
No, he's saying it's a borrowed term. It's not a law.
Right, but not for the law. He meant the laws of me and not
the
law.
Yeah, the word is
sure.
In another context.
Because even in the phone,
turn it up on.
All means to refuse.
Okay, suppose this woman did have Nidorim. She goes to the Koch. He's bought her the Nether. So now she says, okay, I don't have Nidorim. In that case, the Kedushin is Kedushin, because remember, when he cancels the Neder, the Kofar, he cancels the Mi'ikara. He says, had you known this or so, right? Or you're Mischarid bin Chatkila. That means he's Eker now, the Neder, from the beginning. So she never had a Neder. She made it tonight. She basically has fulfilled it tonight. But suppose she goes to a doctor. He had made it tonight on the night that you don't have any Mumi. And she goes to a doctor, and the doctor cuts off that extra hand on her belly button. Right, so in that case.
Eight.
No, come on.
Yes.
No. She had
two extra arms.
And they just cut off. So they were like calling her.
Two extra arms. They didn't start worshiping her.
They did. They called her a Hindu goddess. Anyways, so they cut them off.
We got a
She's 2 years old.
Okay.
They did the operation.
Clearly a goddess.
She really.
All right. So. Amazing. Okay, so suppose now she goes to a surgeon, and the surgeon, yes, the surgeon cures. I think maybe we shouldn't put out this stuff on the internet. The surgeon cures her. So then, inam kudesh. Mabin chacham l'rofe. What's the difference? The chacham okerat haneder miikaro. L'rofe inu merape elamikam ulahaba. Now Tosis points out that we're going to see later on that it's not the Mikan al-Haba per se. In other words, it's not the fact that at the time that he made the Tznai, there was a Mum, because it doesn't have to be defined at the time. All that the Gemara really means over here is that his Hakpada on a Mum is even if she had surgery. A guy doesn't like to be married to a centipede even if they've made it look weird, and that's in his mind. So she's with Mimeset Allah, basically. So the fact that she's cured doesn't change his Hakpada. All right.
Plastic surgery.
V'atanya, Esti Gemara, doesn't it say it's a chachami tira, it's a rofevri paota in amakudeshet? It says that in either case it's not a good kiddush. That's not a problem. There is, in fact, a machlokas tanoim. One brisa is going like Rabbi Meir, and one brisa is going according to Rabbi Elazar. What's that machlokas? Ha, Rabbi Meir, diomra adam rotzer shetitpaze ishto bebeitin. Rabbi Meir accepts that a person would not be makbid, that the woman that he's married to, if she has a neder, should go into a court and get it mutter. Whereas Rabbi Elazar holds, ein adam rotzer shetitpaze ishto bebeitin. I don't want, she's gotten a darim, yes, but I can get rid of the nadarim. I'm not interested in having any wife of mine walking into a court and talking about her nadarim and having everybody talk about it. It's disgusting. I don't want to get married. So if you hold that's the halacha, as we'll see in a moment, so then in Yochinami, the fact that the chokum is erka the neder is irrelevant. I don't want such a wife. So those are the things that we need to take into consideration. The details of this machlokas we'll do tomorrow, and maybe we'll do a brief review of all of the shitas, because we had so many backs and forths, so many different approaches among the Tanoim and Amoraim.